It is so wonderful to be with everyone here at Kol Midrash at Yom Rishon. This is my first time with the group on Zoom. I really do miss us being together to try to replicate the Kol Midrash at Yom Rishon experience. I did spill a little bit of coffee on the floor right in front of the urn on the side of my counter, just so that as I took my coffee, I would have the full, robust Kol Yom Rishon feel. I have some cantaloupe on the side, and I have a rogalach of unknown origin and age. But it really is wonderful to see everyone. It's really wonderful to be together with everyone. And since this is my first opportunity to share Torah with you in this context, since the passing of Rabbi Arbisfeld, I just want to take a moment to acknowledge his family's support of the program for so many years and the personal relationship that I had the privilege to develop with Rabbi Arbisfeld through this program and other programs at the CJF. And in fact, the very last time that I had the opportunity to see him was at a REITS board meeting, one of the last ones we had live. And I shared with him a booklet that had a reflection of all the different Arbisfeld programs that we had done over the past year. And it lit up his face, and it just gave him such nachas to see people studying Torah, to see people connecting to the scholars of Yeshiva University, to see people coming together on our campus, and to see people just engaged in a meaningful way in the study of our tradition. And so we miss him dearly on many, many levels, but his smile and his disposition and his old sense of warmth as he brought you in is really something that we miss dearly, but also his total focus and attentiveness when studying Torah. And I remember him sitting there as one would give a shiur, laser focused. It's his hasmada in that regard is really something that stands as a testament for his chashivas haTorah over the many years. And so we welcome and we thank his family for their continued support of this incredible program. So my topic for today, as I understand, we're rounding out our semester, and this Sunday converges with the reality of what's going on in the world around us. And we cannot escape the fact that this year, even though we do not necessarily subscribe to the secular calendar, is having an inherent sense of value and meaning. In fact, there are halachic issues even relating in certain ways with substance to the secular calendar. But nevertheless, we live in a society that is largely governed and framed by these time periods, and the sense and the atmosphere in the air as 2020 comes to a conclusion is certainly not without a sense of meaning and a sense of reflection. And so I'd like to engage that reality in the atmosphere without necessarily giving credence to any sort of religious meaning to the new year, but the overall sense that we are connected to this moment in time that seems to be experienced by the world as a moment of significance. And I want to reflect on what our approach, on what our attitude would be to that significance, because I do see posted by from people being discussed in so many of our circles, the notion of 2020 and its accursed nature and all of our expectations that things go wrong and how we relate to what it means to bring a period of time that has been saturated with so much challenge and so much suffering in so many different directions to a transition to another period of time and how we relate to it. So that's the reality. I remember that in the many years that I was running Shabbatonim and conventions at hotels for NCSY, so we would sit down with a manager of a hotel and we would explain to them what it would mean to host a Orthodox religious group and all of the different accommodations that were necessary in order to facilitate the weekend. And each and every one of these accommodations were fairly well understood. The notion of kosher food, they could pretty much wrap their heads around. There are dietary restrictions that exist out there in the world, gluten-free, dairy-free, all these other diets that we're familiar with. Even some of the prohibitions of Shabbos, the restrictions of things we are able to do and not able to do, using electricity, not using electricity, technology, all of these elements of the environment and of the experience we could bring to a point where it would resonate and we could at least work with the people together with them. The one thing that I always found very difficult, and my father would also share this in his experience running many years of Pesach programs in hotels, was the notion of Kedushas Hazman. The concept, not that there is a day of rest, or there's a day where we're detached from technology, but the notion that at 4:34, we can do anything we want, and at 4:35, it is absolute all or nothing. The holiday has begun. This total bifurcation of religious experience that is anchored in a mere moment in time that completely divides reality, this is something that people have trouble relating to. And often it would be things would run late, things would go over, expectations wouldn't be met. And they would say to me, all right, we're almost there. We're almost done. Just start the holiday a little bit later. Just do it a little, just give us an extra few minutes, their version of the 18 minutes, but at the end of the 18 minutes. And so I was once sitting with the manager of a hotel trying to explain to him this notion, 4:35, yes, 4:36, no. And he says, really, it's in a moment, the whole thing starts. And I said, yes, in a moment, the whole thing starts. He said, wow. I said, do you have anything like that in your culture? He said, only one thing. So I said, what? He says to me, this is just like the kiss on New Year's Eve. And I looked at him and I said, yes, this is just like the kiss on New Year's Eve. Can't be too early, muktam. Can't be too late, meucher. Has to be, but also azman, in the exact moment. So there is a notion of reflecting on a period of time. And when we look back at a particular period of time and the notion that there's a transition in time, it is something that is resonant with the larger world around us. And there is reflection that is going on in our society. And so that reflection impacts us as well. And we find ourselves thinking about the year in this kind of unit we do. What kind of year it is, has it been? And how do we relate to such a challenging year? So I want to share with you an article that I noticed on the front page of the Wall Street Journal. The Wall Street Journal, December 18th, 2020, in source number one. One way to say good riddance to 2020, light your planner on fire. Lots of people can't wait to say good riddance to 2020. Some are planning a flaming farewell. Close out this Gehennamscape year. And the article goes on to say, to cap off the dumpster fire of a year, people are seeking catharsis through an original ritual, and that is burning the 2020 planner. We're going to very symbolically put the past into the past, said the Santa Barbara writer, 53, of her and her daughter's scheme to toss their underused date books into a backyard bonfire on New Year's Eve. They have already started burning 2020 calendars. Miss Place would ordinarily ring in the new year, clad in sparkly novelty spectacles surrounded by friends. But after 10 months of dashed plans, including the ability to gather for the holidays, she is not alone in feeling that she cannot celebrate the future without first exorcising the past. And others are planning to try to purify the power, through the purifying power of fire, to give the year a flaming farewell. You'll notice that in the source booklet, the next paragraph is an exact replication of the original paragraph because my cut and paste didn't work on my computer the way it should have, which when that happens, we generally say 2020, right? Okay, but we can move on. We got the basic point. The yesod is the notion that we expunge the experiences of the past. That part of what we are trying to do is we know we're at the dawn of this light that is hopefully rising, this light at the end of the tunnel, the introduction of vaccines that will, please God, introduce into the world a capacity for us to ultimately return to some sense of familial normalcy, be able to rejoin together families and in-person experiences and kol medrasha yom rishons. And we're starting to think about what the world is like, what the post-COVID world is like. And there is this sentiment, there is this desire to somehow expel these experiences, that somehow the pain and the suffering and the challenge and the distance and all of the lack of opportunity that framed this period of time should somehow recede into memory, and we should become distant from it, and we should no longer contend with it, have anything to do with it. That's what it means to burn the calendar of 2020. Thank God 2020 is over. We're moving on. The vaccine is coming. It's a new Zman. It's a new year. It's a new experience. And let's let all of this pain and all of this suffering go into the past. Let's forget what this world was like, the masks, the social distancing, all of the restraint that we were called upon to exercise in order to preserve and persevere in our safety and well-being, and let's move on. And it is this sentiment that I want to address this morning to frame for us, hopefully together, looking at the makoros of our tradition, how we relate to a past of challenge. How should we be relating to the challenges themselves as we are at the precipice of transitioning into a new space of this experience, or for the rest of society as we move into hopefully a new and more elevated year. So this notion that last year was a bad year, that we just want to expunge and forget and burn the planners, actually has some resonating source in our tradition as well. The Gemara in Megillah tells us on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, in source number 2, Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, of Shimon ben Elazar would say, Ezra tikin lahen li Yisrael, that when Ezra established the calendar for the Jewish people, so that we would be able to have the Kriyas HaTorah, the reading of the Torah, at the proper sequence of weeks relative to the various holidays of the year. So Ezra established this calendar, Shiyu Korin Kilolos, Shebitoras Kohanim Kodem Atzeres, that the Kilolos, the curses, the Tochacha, the rebuke that we read about in the Torah, that discusses and reflects on all of the challenging and punishing circumstances of Jewish history that befall the Jewish people when we fall short of the expectations of Torah, that rebuke, that tochacha should be situated calendarically to come kodem atzeres, before Shavuos. This should be Mishneh Torah, and the tochacha that we read in Sefer Devarim and Parshas Kisavo, kodem Rosh Hashanah. That should be read only before Rosh Hashanah, before the new year. Says the Gemara, my taima, what is the reason for this? Amar Abaye, says Abaye. The Tema Reish Lakish, and some say it was said by Reish Lakish, kidei, in order, shetichle Hashanah v'kilaloseha, so that the year could end with its curses. In other words, all of the suffering, all of the challenges, all of the defeats, all of the difficulties should be concentrated and culminated and expressed through the reading of the Tochacha, and then we should turn the page and arrive at Rosh Hashanah with an entirely new slate. Let this year go. And that's what the Gemara then goes on to say. That explains the Rosh Hashanah in Tishrei. What about Shavuos? The Gemara says, Shavuos is also a little bit of a Rosh Hashanah. Uvahatzeres al peros ha'ilan. We know the first Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah that there are different moments of the year that mark initiating seasons of reality for the Jewish people. And Shavuos is one of them with respect to peros ha'ilan, fruits of the tree. But for the one that relates to man himself, for the one that relates kibnei maron, that we stand before God in judgment, says the Gemara, shetichla hashana v'kilaloseha. All of those klolos, however they were manifest throughout the year, please God, it was not a year where all the full spectrum and span of the tochacha was expressed in the Jewish experience. But even if there were moments of expression of such suffering and such challenge, shetichla hashana v'kilaloseha. We don't want this carried into next year. End the year, close the book, move on. New year. It sounds like this sentiment of burn the calendar has some ring of truth to it, that we don't wallow in the challenges and the defeats and the suffering of the past, that we are able to turn a new page and we're able to move on. let it go. If we turn to the next source, source number three, which was pointed out to me by my good friend, Rabbi Yossi Katz of the Chicago Kollel, when I was discussing this topic with him, from the Halichos Shlomo, from Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach writes the following. He's talking about the new year, approaching the new year, approaching Rosh Hashanah. So he writes, Shema Shemurgo Bifi Abrios B'Sof Hashanah. You know what is generally done, what is generally regular for people to do at the end of the year? Laharbos Bi'ichulim Ish L'Re'enu. That people wish a certain sense of congratulations, a certain well-wishing to people, to everyone, to their friends. Shashana haba, that the next year, the coming year, Tehetova mehashana hacholefes, should be better than the year before. Not just Happy New Year, not just Shana Tova. I hope this year is better than last year, right? People will tell you, people who struggle with ongoing and persistent challenges in life, very often someone will say to them, this is not always so helpful emotionally, someone will say to him, this year, this is going to be the year. This will be your year. Everything that's gone wrong in the past, that'll be gone. This will be your year. Disparaging that which came before in order to elevate and anticipate and excite one about that which is coming forward. So, hey, Rabbeinu, v'tich l'shana v'kil l'osea, this would be part of the bracha. V'tich l'shana v'kil l'osea, all the bad things that happened last year, that should be the end of the curses, of the challenges, and you should be able to go into the world with a new reality. So says Rav Shlomo Zalman, hey, Rabbeinu, sheyesh l'zayar bazeh, a person should be very cautious with that attitude. That in expressing a certain degree of negativity over the past, that at the same time they are kafui tov, they are rejecting the good, they take for granted the good that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for them throughout that year also. Yesh lehodos ba'oso mida al kol hachasodim ha'tovos shayu b'meshech hashana. That when a person reflects on the previous year, even if the previous year was difficult, the blessing should not be, I hope that last year is in the past and next year is a great year. A person has to make sure that all of the moments of success and blessing and reward and meaning and purpose that existed in the past year don't get thrown out with the challenges and the difficulties. What's the problem with burning the calendar? You want to tell me that you had a particularly hard moment on March 17th and you want to burn that date? That's one thing. You had a particularly difficult Chol HaMoed Pesach? You want to forget about that date? That's one thing. And we'll discuss if that's a good idea or a bad idea. But the notion that you take the whole year as a unit, the notion that 2020 was a bad year because it is punctuated by so many moments of tragedy and difficulty and suffering, which it is, countless moments, countless loss, countless suffering. But the notion, shetichla kilosel, the notion that we just say to ourselves, let's move past it, let's expunge it from the record, let's just, it's overload. The human mind, the human consciousness, the human soul can't carry the burden of confronting in our active consciousness all of the realities that we've been through over the last 12 months. So let's just let it go and let's move forward with a renewed sense of optimism towards the future and just burn the past. Says of Shlomo Zalman, when you burn the past, you don't just burn the days of challenge, you also burn the days of triumph. There were moments of blessing in those days. There were moments where you woke up invigorated and breathing, and that was a blessing. There was a moment where you were able to connect with a loved one. That was a blessing. There was a moment where you were able to find an inner strength and be able to nurture it and cultivate it and develop it and accomplish and achieve an impact through it. That was a moment of strength. When we link everything together, when we group everything together, and we say to ourselves, 2020, terrible year, terrible year. Understand what we're saying. Understand that we are throwing out the baby with the bathwater. So even just on the very pragmatic level, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, that's not something we're supposed to do. But rather, yesh lehodos, We should have gratitude. And we should wish people that those pieces should continue. What are the parts of 2020 that should continue, that should persist, that should persevere? What are the dimensions of the COVID experience that should transcend the realignment that hopefully we will experience as a result of the vaccine? What should we not let go of that we only discovered or rediscovered? Challenge within which we found ourselves. Kimo kein, heyer shalotov, adover sha'osim chelet mimidfisei aluchos, says Shlomo Zalman, that sometimes when people used to publish calendars, they would write, lichtov b'sof aluach, they would write at the end of the calendar, tichla shana v'kiloseh. You know, at the end of Elul, they would write, before you turn the page to Tishrei, or before you throw it out and buy next year's Luach, and you have Aleph Tishrei, you just know all the bad things that went wrong, the year should end with them, done, finished. So Shlomo Zalman says, that type of disposition, that type of attitude is not what we are aiming for. So what he doesn't like about it is, when did you publish this calendar? You published the calendar at the beginning of the year. You're writing already at the beginning of the year, at the end of the year, that everything bad that happened in the year shouldn't carry over to next year. It's like a premonition that something terrible will happen. Says of Shlomo Zalman, such a thing is not appropriate. But the general sentiment here is that when the Gemara says, Shetichla shana v'kiloseh, the notion that we want to leave the pain behind, this does not mean we want to leave the totality of the year behind. It's a symbolic concentration of our pain. Yes, we want to express the notion that the pain that we experienced in the previous year, the challenge we experienced in the previous year, is not one we want to repeat, is not one we want to persist and carry into next year, but not, God forbid, to take the approach that we want to expunge the totality of the year. We have to look at this experience and our past and the year as a whole with nuance. And we have to look at it with a certain sense of the complexity that it is in order to be able to appreciate all of its dimensions. This is what Rav Kook writes in his Ma'amar HaRaya, in page 146, in source number 4. Look at the second line. Kishen anu ovrim miperek leperek. When we move from a period of time, the Pirkei Hazman, in any sort of time, kimo mishana lishana, like from year to year, but it could be any moment that we feel we're entering a new stage, a new phase. Anu chashem b'kirbenu tofa shel chidush. We always have a certain phenomenon, we feel a certain phenomenon of renewal. Hal chelek me'achayim shalanu v'nase avar mesuyam, that a piece of our life is moving into the past. And we're planning for a new stage of life, a new phase of reality, one that we want to define entirely in the future. And he goes on to say, he says that there's a certain ethical advantage in terms of our growth, of being able to internalize the significance of a transition point in time, of an inflection point in time, because through it, we are able, the inflection point in time does allow us to be able to look back and evaluate the past and interpret and understand the past, and to purify the past. And try to expel anything that is a result of mistakes we made. But as it goes on to say, sort of Cook goes on to say, it's normal, it's expected that any transition in time, even if it's not the typical year in time, but any significant transition in time will signal to the inner soul of a human being this desire, this ambition to be reflective and to think about the past relative to the future. And so therefore, whether the inflection of time is the secular date of January 1st that we're experiencing in our larger society, whether the inflection point in time is a transition in the reality of the pandemic, or whether the inflection point in time is the actual Jewish New Year of inflection points in time. All of these are examples of moments where we have to look at the past and look at the future. And that's the question. How do we look, how do we view as Jews the experiences of our past, the challenging experiences of our past? Do we view them as something that we want to essentially distance ourselves from? And for us, hope and aspiration is about positivity and about letting go of those things that happened and about starting anew. Or somehow is our vision to take the even the challenges of the past with us into the future and into who we ultimately become? So Rav Soloveitchik, and this is recorded in one of the Beis Yitzchaks, had a beautiful insight with regards to conversion. We know that when an individual comes to the Beis, the individual comes and says, I want to convert, I want to be part of the Jewish people. So the Gemara in Yevamos tells us that what do we say to that person? We don't say to that person, oh, that's great news. We could use, you know, all the help we could get, you know, that wonderful, you know, welcome to the Jewish people. Here's your card. That's not what we say. What do we say? We say to them, aren't you aware of how oppressed and downtrodden and difficult and challenging it is to be a Jew? Aren't you aware of the disparity and how the Jewish people are treated and the anti-Semitism and the vulnerabilities of the Jewish people throughout history in all of the moments that we were susceptible to so much persecution? Do you know about all this? Do you really, really, really want to be part of this? Is that what you want? So says the Rav, what's going on here? What does this mean? Since when do we market the identity of the Jewish people through exposing all of the negativity and all of the challenges and all the suffering of the Jewish people? Why wouldn't we market the Jewish people? Why wouldn't we present the identity of Am Yisrael from a disposition of all of the brachas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the Jewish people? You want to be part of the Jewish people? That's great. Let me tell you everything the Rebbe Shalom does for us. Let me tell you about Kiddush Shem Shamayim. Let me tell you about all the moments of salvation and elevation and spiritual connection. Let me tell you about the Nobel Prize winners. Let me tell you, let's put Yahadus's step forward in a more positive posture. What are we doing? So says the Rav, it's for a very simple reason. And that is, he goes back to the Geirus, the paradigmatic Geirus of Rus, that when Rus is relating to her commitment to become part of Am Yisrael, she uses two phrases, Ameich Ami and Elokayich Elokai. Says the Rav, there are two elements to Kedushas Yisrael. There are two elements of what it means to become part of the Jewish people. One is Elokayich Elokai, to subscribe to the expectations and values of Torah, to embrace the ideals of what it means to be a Jew, to live a life of sanctity and of purpose and of religious connection. That is Elokayich Elokai, but that's not enough. You could be a purposeful and holy person in some other context as well. To really become part of the Jewish people, you also have to embrace the notion of Ameich Ami. You have to become part of the story of Am Yisrael. And the story of Am Yisrael isn't just a story of success and achievement. It is also a story of suffering and challenge and what it is that we extrapolate from that suffering and challenge. We are defined as a people by our journey. And that journey that shapes our identity and that propels us forward and ultimately empowers us to make the extraordinary impact upon the world that we are called upon to make, that story is an outcome not only of our high points of salvation, but it is also an outcome of our tremendous challenges. You want to join Am Yisrael? Ger tzarech ladas shebekidei liyischaya v'mitzos lo maspik lekabel al atzmo das haTorah. To become chaya v'mitzos, you can't just accept the religion of Torah, but rather bilvad yishar adayin be'uma shalok demikara and remain in some other nation, elitzarechu lishtatev in sarasan shal Yisrael. You have to be part of the challenges of the Jewish people. Kulomar she'chelek miklal Yisrael. You have to become part of our nation, in our story. V'rak acharkach yuchal liyischaya b'chol mitzvos haTorah. And that's why Ameich Ami comes first. You might think, Elokayich Elokai, that's the foundation. First become connected to Torah and mitzvos, and then you'll join the narrative of the Jewish people. No, says the Rav. In order to fully integrate into Kedushas Yisrael, in order to fully become part and parcel of this nation, of this people, you must connect yourself to our story, to our history, to our challenges, to our difficulties. The identity of Am Yisrael is not one of just withstanding and surviving the challenges of Jewish history. The identity of Am Yisrael internalizes the challenges of Jewish history. It becomes part of what animates who we are. And our disposition towards everything we go through is not to view ourselves as simply striving to survive it, to become to and to expunge it, and to move on from it, and to try to inoculate ourselves from even feeling the challenges of it, but rather to live it, to deal with it, to confront it, to learn from it, to become elevated by it, and to carry it as part of our history, as part of our narrative. So the notion that there's a bad year and we just expel that year, it's not just that we don't want to expel the good moments like Rav Shlomo Zalman developed. So don't burn the calendar. It's that even the bad dates, even March 17th, it doesn't have to be on March 17th, but even the bad dates, even the bad moments carry with them one thing. And that is, it was all part of our journey. It was all part of our narrative. And I would suggest that with the COVID-19 experience, there was a dimension of the narrative that was unique to us, unique to our community, in the way in which it affected us and affected the rhythms of our religious life and our religious experiences, but also for broader humanity, for the broader world. This is part of the world's story. 2020 is not a year that we forget about. This is not a period of time that we want to expunge from the human experience. This is something we want to build on, we want to develop, we want to ultimately move on. And there are so many examples throughout our tradition that capture this notion. One of the more poignant ones that I recall is a tshuva, Nishaus Tshuvos of Mima Amakim, Rav Oshri, where Rav Oshri was asked by a survivor whether or not it would be permissible from the perspective of performing elective surgery to harm oneself when it's not necessarily required for the purpose of health, whether or not it would be permissible to remove the number tattoo from an individual's arm. They weren't interested in being identified in this way any longer. And if you look at source number 6, I don't have time to go through all the details right now, but aside from the halachic treatment of the subject that he gives, he makes a very strong case that a person has to understand, a person has to realize that carrying that memory with them, carrying that history with them, as painful and as traumatic as it is, and obviously we're not talking about an individual for whom the trauma of having the number is compromising to their well-being and health, but just that it's something that they just don't want to be a part of who they are, of their individual physical composition, to have that memory triggered all the time. So if an individual can sustain such a disposition, then carrying the experience with you is part of what projects to the world our confidence in our survival and our sense of we outlive them, our sense that we do not accept the branding of human beings, the notion that we live our lives with purpose and with meaning, even though it was, you know, that you tried to destroy us, that vitality of the Jewish people, that ability to transcend the historical nemesis of the Jewish people. This idea that we don't try to cut off our past, that those memories become a living reality that we carry with us into the future, not just because we have to remember the good moments, and not just, as we mentioned, because the bad moments are also part of who we are, but the bad moments and the bad experiences, even the ways in which they weren't necessarily edifying to our growth in our life, there are lessons of the future that require a cognizance of the past. There are things that we need to accomplish in the world that require us to have a sense of consciousness that there was a moment where we couldn't be together, where we couldn't see each other's face, where we couldn't sit in proximity, where we couldn't daven and celebrate and worship and make simchas in a normative fashion. That itself is something we carry with us. We don't say we're not going to put on the mantle, the simcha pictures with the masks. The simcha pictures with the masks carry the experience forward because there's a dimension of the experience that has what to say to the future, that has what to impact on the future. The Beis HaLevi writes on the Pasuk, Oz Yashir Moshe. So the Medrash writes, the Medrash connects through the conversation with Moshe Rabbeinu, the Oz of the Shibud Mitzrayim to the Oz of the Shira after Kriyas Yamsuf. So listen to the language of the Beis HaLevi. Raka Inyan, Dihine Mishahu Bitsar, someone who is in pain, Chalila, God forbid. Va'akadosh Baruch Hu Ozro Umatzilo, and a God helps him and he saves him. V'nosin la'akadosh Baruch Hu Sherach Bahudah, and he provides to HaKadosh Baruch Hu praise and thanks, al atova on the goodness, sha'asalo, that God did for him. Yesh b'zeh shnei ofanim v'chalukim em arvei. There are two different ways to do this, says the Beis HaLevi, and the differentiation between each is very significant. Im ikar simchaso al ha'adam, if the primary joy for the person, umash mishabeach l'shmo yisparach, and that he praises God for, hurak avir tovaso shekibil v'atzaloso me'atzar, that God simply saved him from the pain, right? That's what my gratitude is. God, I was in pain. Thank you for making it stop. If that's the totality of your response, of your reaction, hare lo yugdal simchaso yoser mi'ilu lohaya lotzar mikodem, then your joy, listen to this, it's so insightful, your joy will never transcend the level of joy you had before the experience itself. You were at some threshold of serenity, stability, and happiness. A challenge was introduced that compromised that happiness. And now you find yourself in a compromised situation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu relieves that compromise, relieves that pain. And now the best you're going to reach is the moment from before it ever started. The ikar simchaso hu rak al hatzola velo al hatzar shemikodem. But when a person emotes more fundamental shira, praise of the Rebbe Hashem, she'amru Moshe b'Yisrael, this shira that Moshe and the Jewish people recited, oz lo haya ikar simchasim al zeh shenitzalu miyad ha-mitzrim. It wasn't just joy on that they were saved from the Mitzrim. Rak ikar simchasim al zeh shezachu liyosam ha-kli chafetz asher yadam nisgadu kvod yisprak v'eslasam v'mitzrayim nisparsim. What it means is that their emotion of gratitude isn't just on the cessation of the challenge, but rather on a recognition that the challenge itself was part and parcel of the salvation. The salvation is not just the cessation of pain. The salvation was a remarkable and an extraordinary and a historically altering change in the whole nature in which God relates to the world and to the Jewish people. And that emanated from the dramatic emancipation of the Jewish people from slavery to the world of freedom. As Rav Kook explains in source number 8, there were dimensions of our mandate for freedom, of serving God in a purposeful way, that we were only able to fully internalize through the suffering experience of Shibud Mitzrayim. So true Shira, true embracing of God's Hatzalah is not found just by thanking God that the problem is ending, but by having a penetrating insight and appreciation for the role in the challenge as well, in everything that is ultimately going to come from the totality of this experience. So when we reflect on moving forward, when we reflect on the next phase, we reflect on 2021 or the post-vaccine world, when we reflect on what it means to have things come back to normal, our gratitude, our shira, shouldn't just be, we had a problem and now, thank God, things are back to normal. That's the first level of Shira. That's not the Oz Yashir. That's Yashir. Oz Yashir means it goes back. Then they sang. They're singing from beforehand also. We're thinking of Kadosh Baruch Hu for the whole picture. Obviously, there was a lot of suffering. It's hard to relate to that suffering as something we should have gratitude for. But the whole notion, the whole experience, the totality of everything we've been through, we recognize is part of something that is moving the Jewish people forward, that moves history forward. As the Pachad Yitzchak writes in source number 9, the Pachad Yitzchak on Chanukah, the Gemara in Shabbos says that when Moshe Rabbeinu breaks the Luchos, Yasher Koach Sheshibarta, you did a good thing that by breaking the Luchos. And says the Pachad Yitzchak, that establishes a paradigm that sometimes when something is broken, a greater result can emanate from it than from its original, actual, healthier and proper constitution. And his example is the whole notion of Torah Shebaal Peh, that it is in the very shichachas haTorah, it is in the very reality that the distance from Sinai results in the forgetting of Torah, that we have to analyze, we have to study, we have to convene, we have to argue, we have to work through all sorts of challenges in order to build an area of Torah that we may never have had in the first place. When we think about all of the, yes, there was tremendous compromise of Talmud Torah through COVID with the closing of yeshivos and the closing of shuls. But when we think about the dimensions of Torah that were built from COVID, first of all, the platforms for Torah that became normalized through COVID, which will definitely persist beyond this experience, but also the halacha, the tshuvas, the sugyos that were revisited that many of us had not encountered for a very long time or ever, simply because we had to contend with unique circumstances and unique issues. That whole notion that often challenge is a producing agent to create something new and something incredible. The Yaros Tevash writes that even in our personal development, he writes that one of the reasons why Paro did not enslave Shevet Levi is he had this premonition that the Moshiach Yisrael, that Moshe Rabbeinu would come from Shevet Levi. And his assumption was that if you didn't experience the Shibud, if you didn't experience the suffering, there's no way you would be able to lead the Jewish people. You wouldn't command the confidence of the nation. There is something that we are being called upon to do, to impact, to influence, to move as history moves forward and as the Jewish people move forward, that has its roots in the challenges we experienced. And so much of that requires us not to burn the calendar, but to embrace these realities and make sure that they are part of our consciousness, our narrative, in our stories. The Pachad Yitzchak interprets the very famous pasuk in source number 12, Sheva Yipol Tzadik Vekam, not that despite falling seven times, the righteous one rises, but because we fall seven times, often we rise. And this is our orientation. We believe in memory, the whole concept of Machil Begnus Umesayim Beshvach, the whole notion of remembering not just the emancipation from Mitzrayim, but the Shibud as well, the servitude as well, the integration of Maror and all of the other symbols to Seder night, gives us a vision of not just how to remember Jewish history, but how to live Jewish history. And the way we live Jewish history is by holding on to the past, to process the past, to deal with the past, to mourn the past, to confront the past in all of its reality, to not sugarcoat it, but to recognize that we don't burn that calendar, to recognize that we take that reality in all of its expression, and we ensure that it is part of a future that we ultimately take with us. Wishing everyone an amazing and tremendous week.